Nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, and nothing else, and nothing else, nothing else will do. Jesus, you don't owe.
texted us over the course of the last couple of days, appreciating the decision that our leadership, administrative leadership team has made in what we've done over the last few days as far as postponing some events and canceling this morning's in-house services due to the fact that most of our church folks are sick, sinus infections, other things. But we want to continue to be praying for each one. We know that you're sick. We know that things are going on. I have tried my best to stay in touch with most of the church folks as we can via text, phone calls, things of that nature, some home visits. Want to make sure we're not spreading nothing, but no kind of sickness or anything. But we do want to continue to be praying one for another. So if you have a prayer request, please, either you can just text the number directly that's listed below or text the keyword prayer to 205-642-8744. You can call that number, you can text that number, or you can text the keyword prayer to that number, and you'll get a link to our prayer wall. I want to encourage you to post your prayer requests there so that others can pray with you. If you want to it to remain private, you can just text it directly to that number, and we will definitely be praying with you, for you, during this time. We want to partner together as a church family to pray one for another. I want to take a moment before we get started. I know some of you are watching on your televisions. Some of you are watching on your cell phones. If you're watching on your cell phones and you have a Roku device, you can download our Coosa Valley Church of God app on your Roku device by just simply searching the keyword CVCOG. If you'll type that in your search engine on the Roku device, you can download our Roku app, and that is completely free for you, to where that you can watch the services on your smart television, on your Roku device. So make sure that you're availing yourselves of those things. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to touch and minister in our time of Bible study this morning. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you again today, I want to thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for this great opportunity to join together through technology with our brothers and sisters in Christ, with our church family, Father, to worship and praise you. I pray today that you'll continue to move and minister in a mighty way in our time of Bible study this morning. Father, I pray that you'll just touch and minister to each one. You see those that are sick, those that are not able to, we're not able to join together. But God, I'm praying right now that you'll touch and minister to the hearts and lives of each one. You see those that are sick, those that have been to the doctor, those that are taking medication, those that are homesick, in the bed sick, wherever they may be, Father, I'm praying that you'll bring a healing touch. As we spoke this last Wednesday concerning healing, Father, I'm praying that you'll bring a healing to our church family. And I praise you for what you're doing in our lives this very day. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you have your cell phones, I know this is a little unusual. If you've got your cell phones and you or text, you can text on that. I know some of you are watching on your cell phones, so I understand that. But if you'll text the keyword, just text amen to our church number, 205-642-8744. We want to know that you're joining with us in prayer and joining with us in our Bible study today. Text amen to 205-642-8744. We want to know that you have joined with us in our Bible study this morning. Amen. The title of our Bible study today, or title of our devotional, however you want to word that, is we're looking into more in 24. We want more of God in 24. And who would have thought that on March the 17th that we would have to postpone or cancel our Sunday morning services simply because there are so many. Please understand. And I have gotten some armchair quarterbacks, folks that have texted us and talked about, you know, closing services. You know, there's a lot that is better today than they was Friday. And I greatly am very much glad that we've got a lot of folks that are better. They're feeling better. They're moving around better, that are not running a fever. But I feel like firmly that we need to have an opportunity where people are taking that time to continue to get better, so you can go back to work on Monday and without spreading anything. And we didn't want anybody coming here spreading anything. And I've had people to say, well, we've got to have faith. You know what? I've got faith. I've got faith that we can stand right here and pray for you right where you're at. And I know that God is going to move. And so the facts are, is this morning we're going to be looking at I'm still standing. And here's the thing. I'm standing on the Word of God. I'm standing on God's promises. I'm standing on the blessings that God has told to us as a church, as a body of believers. I know that God is with us every step of the way. No matter that we're not able to be together, some of you are sitting in the floor watching TV, watching us on the TV this morning. Some of you sitting on the couch in the recliner. Some may be sitting on the front or the back porch and you're drinking a cup of coffee, or you're sitting at the kitchen table, maybe getting ready in the kitchen, getting ready for lunch, whatever that may be. I want you to know that I'm still standing with you. I'm standing on the promises of God with you, because I know that God is still moving at Coosa Valley Church of God. Tomorrow, me and Sister Carrie and Miss Katie, we celebrate 9 years of standing together with this church family. And I want you to understand something. We're not sitting down. We're not giving up. We're continuing to press forward. Why? Because we're standing together as a church family. Amen. And to that end, we need to understand that while we're standing, we need to know that this is a time of a spiritual warfare. What does your mind think about when you hear the word spiritual warfare? Over the last several years, we have talked about those two words, spiritual warfare. And when you're thinking on those words, does that term, spiritual warfare, bring to your mindset a direct assault by demons? Does it bring to your mindset an irresistible temptation to sin? Does it bring an unexplained, unescapable feeling of depression or anxiety? What does the word spiritual warfare mean to you? Does it mean a gnawing sense of failure and shame? Does it mean spiritual fatigue, that you feel powerless during that time? Does spiritual warfare bring a loss of joy? Does it mean an attack against your family, your possessions, your finances, your health? Does spiritual warfare, does that mean an attack against your health? I want you to understand something. All of these things are a part of spiritual warfare. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 13, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, if you'll take a look right here in this box right below where I'm standing at right now, you know, this is what it tells us. And during a time of spiritual warfare, what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to, today in the time that we're living in, we are indeed engaged in a spiritual warfare. That spirit, we also find in 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, that spiritual warfare comes on the front of the world. The world, God's word. God has given us the armor to defend ourselves and to win every battle that we face. Paul has given us in Ephesians chapter 6, he's given us a strategy in order to win and fight and win this spiritual battle, this spiritual warfare that we're facing. He begins off in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. He says this. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Church, we must understand and be really understanding and keep it in our mindset that we draw strength and power and might from our relationship with God. We cannot We cannot lean over and give credence to the devil whenever he tries to attack us. But we've got to put our trust and our strength and our might has drawn from a relationship with Jesus Christ, our relationship with God. He tells us in verse 13, you can go back and take a look at this, and he tells us simply this. He tells us that we need, Paul tells us to focus on the fact that the armor that we need so that we can withstand in the evil day and do all we can to stand firm, and that armor is found in the Word of God. The reason that we put on the full armor of God is to take our stand against the devil's schemes, so that when the day of evil comes, we can take a stand again in this time of spiritual warfare. We must understand, remember, we brought this to our mindset just a few moments ago. What is spiritual warfare? Spiritual warfare is a direct assault from demonic forces. It is a temptation to sin. It's feelings of depression and anxiety, panic attacks. It's a feeling of failure and shame. Spiritual fatigue, loss of joy, attacks against our family, possessions, our finances, and our health. All of these things are a part of a spiritual warfare. But in this time of spiritual warfare, we must also understand that we do not fight against human forces, but spiritual warfare of darkness and demonic powers that are at work in this world. We must understand that those that are around us, our brothers and sisters in Christ, we must take arms together. We must hold each other up during this time of spiritual warfare. Why? Because our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against the rulers and authorities. That's found in verse 12, which are the cosmic powers that are at work in the world we're living in. Although during that time, during the battle between Christ and the devil, whenever Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, there was a time frame that there was a battle going on between the heavens and hell, between heaven and hell. And although during that time, they were defeated by Christ at the cross, demons, as we find in Colossians, you to understand something. There are spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms that wants you to be defeated, wants you to sit down, wants you to give up. But we need to stand strong in the day and time that we're in. Amen? The goal of every spiritual battle that we face is simply this. We need to stand. We need to stand. Even hold the line. We need to hold the line of defense against the most determined, the most severest attacks of the enemy. We found in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, it talks about the day of evil. The phrase the day of evil means when things are at their worst. Some of you, I've talked to you. Some of you laying in that bed, sitting in that recliner, sitting on the couch, you feel like that your health right now, you are sick. Some of you have said you're sicker than you've ever felt before. We've had conversations with several of you that said that the past 4 years, our church has stood strong and we've not had an outbreak of sickness like we've had over the past few days. I agree with you on that. 100% agree with you. We've not had this kind of an outbreak in the last 4 years. This is a devastating thing. I completely understand that. You'll remember about 4 years ago, we was having a church service, and then a few days after, about the time we're sitting in right now, is when Alabama and this nation shut down. We was told to shut down for a couple of weeks, and that turned into a long time. I completely understand where the mindset of each one of us is at. But what we've got to understand is, yes, there is a physical sickness. I am not disparaging about that. I'm not saying that there's not a spiritual sickness. To that end, I also want you to understand, when we come back into this house, if you're running a fever, I'm going to ask you, as the pastor of this church, if you're running a fever, I'm going to ask you to stay at home. Why? Oh, Brother Andy, you need to have the faith that God could heal. I do have faith. I got faith that I can pray right here over your sickness right where you're at. I believe that I can pray right now to each one of you that has joined us on live stream, that's listening later on podcast. I believe that if you're sick, we can pray the prayer of faith and that God would heal. I stand on the Word of God in that. But I want you to understand also that we need to take heart, and we need to know that in this physical aspects of sickness, we need to do the right thing. And if we're sick, we stay at home. You can call upon the elders of the church, and we can pray for you. You can send us a text. You can call us here at the church, and we're going to pray. I promise you we're going to pray for you. But we also must understand, to that end, set that physical set to put stuff to the side. Set it right here for just a moment. We also must understand that there is a spiritual warfare that is going on in the heavenlies, and is fighting against everything that would come that we stand for here at Coosa Valley. Other churches across this state, around this nation, and around in this nation and around the world, they've had to do the exact same thing that we're doing today. But we are standing in a time of a spiritual warfare. So for the next few moments, I want us to talk about five things that we are to stand in the day of battle. I don't know about you, but I'm still standing. I am still standing. So there's five things that we're standing in the day of battle. This is a time of spiritual warfare. This is a time of battle. First of all, we stand for. You got to stand for something. You've heard the old adage, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Well, church, we've got to stand for something. And what I'm standing for is the truth of the Word of God. I'm going to stand on God's Word. I'm going to trust that God's Word still means something. It is still powerful. You find in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Acts chapter 5, in verse 32, you find that we are commissioned as Jesus' witness. And the word witness in the Greek means a martyr. Consider that Peter and John, as they stood before the Sanhedrin, they were in prison for preaching the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 5. An angel released them from prison at night, and he told them, go stand in the temple courts. Tell the people the full message of a new life. That's verse 20. They were arrested, and they were told not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore. They replied, we're going to obey God rather than man. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then they said, we are witnesses of these things. Verse 32. They were flogged and released, and the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had counted it worthy to suffer disgrace in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 5. Verse 41, church, we need to stand for something. This is not a day and time that we need to just lay down and say, well, you know what? I understand, and I believe in your lifestyle, and just so that I don't offend somebody. I'm going to tell you, church, we need to stand for something. It's not an offense to stand for the Word of God. It's not an offense to preach the Word of God. It's not an offense to be a witness for the Word of God. Church, that's called conviction, and we need to stand that the Holy Spirit of God is going to convict those that we are witnessing to. That's going to convict those that we're teaching the Word of God to. That's going to convict those that we're preaching the Word of God to. That's not called condemnation. That's not called offense. That's not called judging. That's called conviction. And I'm going to stand on the Word of God. Second thing that we need to understand
about standing is we need to stand against something. If you stand for something, you're against something. If you're standing for something, you're naturally going to be against something. I stand for the Word of God, so I stand against a sinful lifestyle, a sinful nature. The church exists as a restraining force against evil. We're holding the line. We're standing arm in arm. We're holding the line. We're standing together against the powers that the devil would throw at us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3 tells us that we need to be a restraining force that keeps the Antichrist from rising to power. We are to be a restraining force that keeps the Antichrist from rising to power. We need to stand against the devil. We need to stand against sin. To that end, we are called to be the salt of the earth. We are to be a convicting and persevering force in the world for Jesus Christ. I am so sick and tired of hearing people that just because if you're a thief, if I preach against stealing, they say you're offending me. No, I'm not offending you. I am preaching the Word of God, and that's not called an offense. That's called convicting power of God. We need to be a persevering force. We need to persevere in the day and time that we're living in. We need to persevere and stand against the things that the devil is throwing at us. How do we do that? We need to do that by being a light in this world. We are to dispel darkness and bring the warmth of God's love to the world. I am not for Christians spewing hate. That is not biblical. That is not being a Christian. That is not what we're supposed to be for. We cannot share the love of God by spewing hate. We cannot do that. We have got to stand against sin. And the best way to stand against sin is to bring the warmth of God's love to a lost and dying world. If you're on your job and you're doing a process or doing whatever on your job, you work at the power company, you work at the fire department, you work at the police department, wherever it is that you may be, and something, you're doing something that's not policy, that's not procedure. Your boss man comes to you and says, "That's wrong," and just bashes you. How does that make you feel? If it's the first time they've ever come at you and told you that that's wrong, chances are, if you've got a good boss man, they're going to say, "That's not the way we need to do that. This is the way we need to do it." And they show you the process. Now, if it's the 100th time, that's a whole nother ball game as far as a boss is concerned. But as a Christian, we are to show the warmth of God's love no matter what. We're not to hate people, but there is a time for hatred. We are to stand against evil. I hate the things that the devil has tried to do to tear the church apart. I hate the fact that it took the devil throwing COVID across this world for it to bring churches to unite together on some issues. I hate the fact that the devil is attacking the family, not just a biological family, but an adopted family and a church family. I hate the fact that churches are allowing across this nation, they're allowing the devil to attack the church family, and they're standing back and doing nothing. Church, Romans chapter 12 and verse 9 tells us, hate that what is evil cling to what is good. The devil does not like a family united, standing strong, standing together in opposition against him. And church, we need to take a stand right here and right now against what the devil is throwing against the church family. We need to stand strong in the day and time that we're living in. Amen. We've got to stand. The third thing that we look at here, yes, it's very important for us to stand for something. And in standing for something, we're going to stand against something. And when we're standing against something, there are times you're going to stand alone. You're going to stand alone. There are times when we have to stand for Christ alone. You may be standing alone in your family as the only witness for Jesus. You may feel alone in your witness at work, at school, in your family, but you're never really alone. There are some of our church family that are widows or widowers. You're going through a sickness, and it may not, this physical sickness right now, and it feels like you're alone. You're not alone. There's times that you feel like that you're the only one that is witnessing to your family, and you feel alone, but you're not alone. Joseph was alone in Egypt, yet he could say, God intended it for good. Daniel was alone in Babylon, yet he resolved not to defile himself. Jesus was alone before Pilate, but for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Paul was alone at his trial, but he said, the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 17, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17. Church, there's times you may feel like you're having to stand alone, but you are never really alone because God is with you. You're sitting in that living room by yourself right now watching live stream on your television or on your smartphone. You're not alone. Not only is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit supporting you and right beside you, but you've got an entire church family at Coosa Valley Church of God that is praying one for another. We're not alone. It may feel like it, but we're not alone. So you're going to stand for something. You're going to stand against something. It feels like you're standing alone. But church, we're standing together. Standing for, standing against, standing alone, and we need to stand together. We need others to support us when we're in a spiritual battle. We cannot do it alone. You're not in this battle alone. You're not in this sickness alone. Quit acting like that you're being a martyr by pushing everybody away. You're not doing anything to help anything if you're pushing people away. I call and check on folks. I've texted and checked on folks over the years. This has happened over the last 25 years in ministry. I've called and I've texted and I've checked on folks, and they'll tell me, oh, everything's great and wonderful. We're great, we're good, all's good. And then I find out through the grapevine, I always find out, that they're facing a tremendous battle, and I never knew anything about it. I was their pastor, and I never knew anything about it. And I'll go back and I'll ask them, I'll say, why didn't you let me know something that was going on? And they say this, they say, you've got so much else on your hands, I didn't want you to worry about me. Church, it's not about worrying about you. It's about showing that we're standing together. We need one another. I know that there are some of our church family that you're private about what you go through, and I get that.
You have shared with me. You have shared with me the things that you're battling, and I've not shared it with anybody else. There's some of them that I've not even shared with Sister Carrie. I've kept what you're battling and what you're going through. I've kept it secret or private because that was your wishes. But you need to understand whether you want to post it on our prayer wall or you want to remain confidential between me and you, what you need to understand is we need one another. We need to support one another when we're going through a spiritual battle. You and I cannot do it alone. The Christian church is a community. We're a family. We're a living organism. We need one another. In the book of Ephesians, the believers are called the body of Christ. And chapter 1, verse 23. We're called a holy temple. Chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. We're called the body or the bride of Christ in chapter 5 and verse 25. Paul stresses the fact that we should make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace in chapter 4 and verse 3. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25, Satan's strategy is to divide and conquer. But when we stand together, when we're united in a strong front, we can overcome the enemy as he attacks. We need to stand together. We're not alone. You are not in this alone. Over the past couple of days, I've been calling and texting as many as I can. Brother Andy, you hadn't called or texted me once. My phone still receives calls and still receives text. I have tried my best to go through the role of the church, the listing of our church family, and I've tried my best to call or text or I've checked on as many as I can. And I told Sister Carrie I'm going to do just that this afternoon again. There's some that I'm going to double check behind and call and check on. We need one another. But what's been really, really great is I've called and I've checked on some and I said, do you need groceries? Do you need something from the pharmacy? And I'll hear, oh, so-and-so in the church, they went and picked up a couple of things at the grocery store. They've gone to the pharmacy for me and they brought it to the front porch and they've set it on the front porch so we wouldn't have to get out. That is a church family. I love that. I've had others, they've called me and they said, hey, if you know anybody that's needing anything, let me know and I'll go get it for them. That is a church family. We're standing together. Church, you're not in this alone. We're standing arm in arm, holding one another together. There's a power when people come together in unity. There is a power that comes together when people are in unity. So finally, we're going to stand for something. We stand against something. We stand alone, feel like we're standing alone, but we're standing together. And then finally, we need to stand up. We need to stand up. We talk about standing up in conjunction with God's call to Ezekiel. Ezekiel was exiled to Babylon. He was a Levitical priest as well as a prophet to the Jews in Babylon. He brought a message in Ezekiel chapter 2. In Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he brought a message of hope in a time of despair. Ezekiel says this. He said unto me, son of man, stand up on your feet. As he spoke, the Spirit came unto him and raised him up to his feet. And I heard him talking to me. Jesus calls for us to stand up for him. Jesus calls us to proclaim the good news of the salvation of God. The salvation, the plan of salvation to this world that we live in. When we have the opportunity, let us not sit in silence, but we need to stand up for Christ. This is a challenge that I'm going to tell to you today, church. It's March the 17th of 2024 at 11:35 in the morning. I challenge you. I want you to stand up for Christ. I want you to take a stand against evil. There's times that you need to stand alone when necessary. But know that we stand together in unity. And we need to stand up in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to stand. And having done all that we know to do, we need to stand. Church, right now, there's not a person in this sanctuary. You've all joined us on live stream, or you're joining us later on a recording or on podcast. You've joined us on YouTube, Facebook Live, Roku, the website, mobile app. So many avenues that we have. You've joined us from Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Tennessee, Florida, Louisiana, Kentucky. Wherever you may be joining us from, I want you to know something. I agonize in my heart over the fact that our church family is sick on this day. Sick to the point we're not able to join together. I agonize over that. This is not something that is done half-heartedly. This is not something done to take in lightly. But I know that we're going to come through the spiritual warfare on the other side. I'm not dumb in the fact that, and I know that there's a physical sickness. And I urge you, if you are sick, come Wednesday, we come back into this house. If you're running a fever, I urge you to stay home. If you're sick, I don't want you spreading germs. I don't want you spreading anything around to anybody else. We have those that are immune compromised. We have the elderly that are not able to hold off against sickness like others can. I get all of those things, but I also know that there's a spiritual warfare that we're facing. And we stand in this spiritual warfare together. Church, we're fixing to go to God in prayer. If you need something, if you have a prayer request, if you want it to remain confidential between me and you, would you just call the number listed on the screen? You'll hit option 7, or you can text whatever your prayer request is to the number on the screen, 205-642-8744. You can call that number, option 7. You can text that number, or you can text the keyword prayer to 205-642-8744. You can visit the website cvcog.church/prayer. Multiple ways that you can get a prayer request to us. You want to email it? Email it to prayer@cvcog.church. I've done lost count how many ways you can get a prayer request to us, but there's multiple ways that you can do that. You can call, you can text, prayer wall, visit the prayer wall, email us. 5-6 ways you can do that. We want to partner together with you. We want to take a stand with you. You're facing a financial need. You're facing a spiritual need. You're facing a sickness. We want to partner together with you in prayer. Church, would you bow your heads right where you're at, unless you're driving, wherever you may be, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, I want to thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for this great opportunity that you've allowed us to come to worship and praise you. Father, I pray today that you'll continue to move and minister to the hearts and lives of each one. Those that have joined us on live feed, Father, I pray that you'll move and minister in their hearts and their lives today. Whatever the need may be, I know that you're able to move and I know that you're able to minister. Father, those that are sick, I pray against this sickness. Those that need a special touch from you, Father, I pray that your holy anointing would move and minister to their lives today. I praise you for what you've done and what you're going to continue to do in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for joining with us today. Remember to submit your prayer request, call, text, email, visit our prayer wall, however you need to. We want to partner together with you in prayer. If you want to connect with our church, visit the website cvcog.church/connect. Or you can text the keyword connect to 205-642-8744. You want to find more information about our church, you can text the keyword guest, G-U-E-S-T, to 205-642-8744. You'll find out all the information about the church there. I am so looking forward to seeing you on this upcoming Wednesday at 6:30. I want you to be in the house of God. We're praying for you. I urge you to continue to be praying one for another. May the good Lord bless you. Thank you so much for joining with us this Sunday morning. May God bless you. Amen and amen.